Hello, welcome to the Small Game. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Streak 188. I'm joined by Fit Nick. And Nick, would you like to introduce our special guest?
Hello. Today's special guest is my cat, Rico.
Can we hold Rico up a bit more?
He's not happy about it. Right.
He's not happy about it at all.
He's had his 15 seconds of internet fame anyway, so there you go.
He's had it. So hello everyone, welcome to the show. I'm joined by Fit Nick right here.
Hello.
Fit Nick, welcome to the show, bud. How are you?
I'm all good, thank you. Thanks for having me on at the last minute.
My pleasure. Today we're just hanging out, we're going to do some hobby, and we're going to talk to the Twitch chat. There's no overarching story. We're just hanging out today, doing some painting, because I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm now a hobby god. I just hobby all day.
You are?
Yeah.
Yeah. This pandemic has really changed you and Tom.
Really changed me and Tom.
At your core.
Drastically changed who we are as people. But before we get into that, I want to say a big shout out to everyone in the Twitch chat. Stufflin, Grinaldi, thanks for subscribing. Don't forget, in the Realm of Fire, it's only volcanoes. Big shout out to Diadrin in the chat. Herminister. Love you, you're great, you're hilarious. Arkarai, what up? I don't know if W.S. Sorin is here for our normal breakfast show, but hello to him. Tristan, what up, baby? Pete Pratt, what's going
Hello,
on?
Dudes.
Going to build some Fellwater Trogoths last night. I want him to know that I was unable to kill a unit of 3 Rotgut Trogoths last night, which was upsetting. Triggered me a lot. Hater Skinny Boots, T-Man Cash, K-Dread, Borea Manchild, hello. Welcome to the show. I hope everyone's well. Nick, I'm hoping you're well. Are you well?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Yeah, same old.
Yeah,
I've played a bit of Warhammer this week, so that's kept me going. I played a couple of games, actually.
Yeah, I saw. I'd like to get an update for you. How long has a tactical squad no longer been available? Can you not buy tactical squads on the Games Workshop store? They're not going to put new tactical squads out. They're probably reboxing them. That's what they'll be doing. They'll rebox them for the new edition, is what they're doing with the new logo. So, Nick, tell me about your games. What games have you been up to?
Well, I played a 1v1 on Tuesday, and then I played a doubles games yesterday. So the 1v1, I had my Chromedar versus James's new Tyranids army. So his Tyranid army absolutely smashed my Necrons last week, so I was like thinking, oh, what list can I take, because I don't want to, like, you know, I didn't want to write a list and either consciously or unconsciously write a list tailored to beat his list, because I was like, oh, what kind of marine list can I take that I've been taking recently that will give it a good game but not be completely tailored. But I ended up taking my Eldar, which is the same Eldar list I've been taking, so I've not tweaked it in any way, just to test that against the Tyranids, and it worked out to be a really good game, because we're both kind of elite armies, like low model count armies that are quite anti-elite, so it was elite versus elite that are both anti-elite, so it's quite a good game. James won the roll off to go first, but then gave me the turn, even though I basically telegraphed to him that I would use the ridiculous Eldar stratagem of, I can't remember exactly what it's called. It's the one where you redeploy 3 units for 3 CP.
Oh yes, at the start of the game.
At the start of the game.
I lost a game once at deployment when they did that. They were like, I do this, and I was like, oh cool, I've lost.
Unless I've got it wrong, unless I actually cheated, and it's done after you know who's going first as well.
Yes.
So it's really, really strong. So basically, James, so I had my 2 Wraithseers who both have D cannons, so they can shoot out of line of sight, and they're really good guns. So I used the redeploy on both of those to get them as far forward as possible, and then move 8 to get in range of his Hive Guard that were hiding behind a building, because they're like a really strong unit. They just hide behind a building all game, shooting twice every turn. It's really, Phantasm, that's it. Yes, meatballs. So I used that to get them both in range and delete 2 off. I think I killed 4 Hive Guard. I also had a Wraith Lord that could sneak him and get a shot on. So I killed 4 Hive Guard turn 1, and that was it. And I got on 4 objectives. So then he was kind of up against it a little bit because he'd lost quite a lot of his output. And then I'm not going to go through blow by blow of the game, but basically the key moment was, I think, me going first, getting on four objectives. And then in my turn one, I scored 15 primaries. And in his turn one, he only scored five. And then we were kind of level pegging for the rest. We both scored 10 each turn for the rest of the game. We roughly evenly scored secondaries. And then I won by about 9 points. So it was that first turn primary swing that won me the game in the end.
Wow.
Yeah, so but it was a good game.
So,
and I'm
so
really...
going first always makes you win. Is that the status? I'm joking.
I think it is. It is still a really good
advantage.
I think the first turn problem has kind of evolved a little bit with this edition. So I think in old edition, in the previous edition, the first turn problem was more because you get to shoot first. And you get to shoot 2,000 points at 2,000 points and reduce them to, say, 1,500 points. Mm-hmm. And then it just snowballs in your favor from that point. Whereas I think the first turn problem now is more about those primaries. Like, you get to jump on yours and shoot them twice before they score. And also on your last turn, you've scored. So turn five, top of turn five, you've scored your primaries and your opponent has yet to score. You can abandon all objectives and move on to theirs to deny them or stop them scoring. So that's the main problem now, which I think maybe they've got a plan to address it by making them more incentives to go second, or more secondaries or other primary things that are benefit the player going second. Mm-hmm. But that's just sort of a wait and see thing. Maybe there's been more stuff in the codexes that make that going second better, or just another chapter approved or mission pack that comes out.
Well, so the came out yesterday. I don't know if anyone else has read it. And also big shout out to Pete for subscribing. Also thank you to everyone for being here. We're getting close, 12 days till Stream Street 200, so I'm excited about that. And Grinaldi, thanks for subscribing. But everyone, big love to you for being here. I don't know if you read, Nick. I know, Nick, you're not a fan of the Warhammer community articles, so you generally tend to avoid them, which is fair.
I think I know which article you're talking about. I did read it, and it triggered the shit out of me.
Well, so we're going to talk about it on the show tonight. I thought we could start the show off with it. So we won't talk about it now, but I'm gonna start with... So I was reading it last night, and my first gut reaction... So this is the terrain pack. So you and me can have this like a kind of like set-up conversation before we go into tonight, because I'd like to hear Tom and Innes' thoughts on it. So I looked at it and I thought, this triggers the fuck out of me. You bring your own terrain. But then I started to look at it, and they have put more work in than I thought it was going to be. There is points for the types of terrain, yeah, and... I think it's very abusable, and I think it's not a good idea to put in a competitive environment that you want to have a level playing field, okay? Mm-hmm. Right? So, mm-hmm. like, that's my... But I do feel like there is some structural strength to it and could potentially be something useful in the future. Like, is where I think I went with it. Like, I just... What I did was, I just took off my emotional, like, Games Workshop doing another fucking money grab thing. This is dumb. And then I looked at it, and I thought... Well, who does this genuinely benefit, and how can this honestly help? And I was like, okay, it's super abusive. I'm going to work out the very best terrain that I can bring for my Marine army, yeah, and just make it as like obnoxious as I can. But it's hardwired to points. So if the structures have points, I don't know. There was like probably
yeah. So it's like
probably
so
it's
depending
a bad idea.
On the. So depending on the points level of game, you get a certain amount of terrain points to spend. So better terrain will cost more. If you want some massive bastion to hold your million heavy intercessors, it might just be the only terrain piece that you bring.
Yeah, ultimately, I think it's not the correct thing for any TOs of any quality in the world really to sort out or set up. I also think it's more onus on players because, you know, the players have got to build like X amount of terrain, and more terrain being out there in the world is useful. I don't know. I don't think it's the best, but I'll talk about this more later. But I do think if you just divorce yourself from the kind of gut reaction of this is dumb, which is probably what it is, and actually try and look at it which I did try last night, because I kind of went through that process, because it's quite a longish article. I started off with, like, I'm not going to give a fuck about this. So I went in there preconceived, and then I started it, and I was like, okay, right, like, come on, Rob, like, actually read it. Like, what do you think this is trying to do? It's trying to help out, as Herman is saying in the chat, it's trying to help out new event organizers, I guess, but it adds more time to a round, because I'm going to be setting up my terrain, they're going to be setting up their terrain, so that's a ball ache. So it's not good, but it might be the start of something good eventually for a certain sort of group, if that makes sense. I don't know. I'll put some better points down for it later. That was kind of like where I wanted.
We could talk a bit more later, I think. Yeah. I think it's a better discussion for later, because then we've got Tom and Innes to chime in as well.
Yeah. Okay, but that's kind of where my conversation is going to go to start with, I think. I think it might be fun play mode for mates playing each other's shed garage, but I don't see it working at large events at all. Neither do I. I'd like to just put a pin, right? I want to put a flag down and say definitely not.
But... yeah, for massive events, I think it'd be the wrong way to go, because, like we've already talked about in the past edition, how much, you know, you have to bring your army, and then 8th edition, they're moving now towards, I hope, more mono codex play style, with incentives to go mono codex. But before there wasn't, when it was supras the only thing on the menu. You have to bring your army, three different small armies, all of your books. So we were already moaning about that. Now if you had to bring all of your terrain as well, a massive event, lugging all your army, all your books and all your terrain from table to table and setting it up each time is going to be just a bit of a faff, and eat into the round times even more. Whereas it should be better, it'd be way better at big events just to turn up to a nice, fairly laid out table of terrain and just play.
Yeah, I think that makes loads and loads of sense. Like, it just doesn't. That's the right decision, obviously, and we don't need to like bandy around it. I played some Warhammer last night, Nick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I played against Mr. Nathan. He ain't got no love for nothing but hammers, Prescott. Which was really, really fun, as we were also doing some like tech stuff inside the arena at the same time, because there's still a whole bunch of stuff that we want to fix and make work really, really smoothly. So big shout out to Chris, if he's listening, for helping me out with that as well. But I had a fun time. What was really fun is me and Nathan played some classic Age of Sigmar, where we both turned up with a box of models. Yeah, and then as we were kind of half talking to each other, we just wrote lists, which is really just us grabbing stuff out of a box and making a 2,000 point list. So it wasn't like the competitive. I mean, they were fairly competitive.
But sometimes they're like really fun games, because you can just, you know, put cool shit on the table, worry about it being good or competitive.
Yeah, exactly. I just picked out stuff that I wanted. Which was kind of, and it wasn't a particularly smart army, but it was a really, really fun time. And it all came down to my brand new painted Vermin Lord Warpseer. I'd taken his Loom Boss or Mangler Swigs down to half wounds on the center objective. We're playing focal points, yeah. And I was like, this is it now, boys. Here we go. I've been protecting him at the back all the time, because I knew he wanted to countercharge the center, because he was the only real combat punch I had in my army. So I was like, he's going to go in. He's got the fourfold blade because it's Legion of Chaos Ascendant. He's got six attacks, threes and threes, Ren 1, D3 damage. Any fives or D3 mortal wounds. I've only got to do five wounds to this Mangler Squig. He's going down. I went in. I missed with five attacks. And I only got one attack through. I just missed initially. Yeah. I even gave myself reroll ones. It was like five twos. Yeah. It's like, damn it!
Those damn dice.
Well, I think it's just...
I swear dice can listen to you. So
it's new model
syndrome, whenever you build up a roll like that, you're like, oh my God, I've got so much redundancy in this roll, and I'm going to do so much damage, it's going to be incredible. The dice are listening.
Well, I think they knew. But we had a real fun time. A big shout out to Boingrot Bounders still being terrible, even in Jaws of Mork, still being absolutely atrocious. But it was a fun game. It was fun. And it's the first time I play Warhammer in like 6 weeks, maybe, because of doing all the Super Series stuff. And I can really feel rusty. Like, I feel rusty.
Yeah.
Like, I know that I'm like not paying attention all the time. I'm not like, I forgot to move one of my units at one point. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? So it just really does show you that you like have to stay on that train of constantly playing, like to keep your eye in. So I'm going to get back on that because I would like to. I'm super lucky, super lucky. Like, and if you are one of the people listening to this being like, fuck you, Rob, like completely right into the sea, like put me in a bin and then throw that bin into the sea. Like, I'm lucky that I've got my own venue that I can play games in now. And it's super COVID safe. So super fortunate, really lucky. But now that we have that, I'm at least going to try and use that as much as possible. And then maybe film games like we've talked about before. So, but I think it's just new model syndrome. He just didn't want to play. I also, you know, if you, during the stream street, you know how I painted up my Lord of Change as well?
Mm-hmm.
So I put him on my brand new bases, put him on the tabletop. I'd just like to point out that why all of you let me paint a model like that. I'm blaming you. Like, I know it's my fault. Like, it is my fault that I made something look so fucking ugly. Like, it's just awful looking. Why did you let me use such bright colors? I must have been like super depressed. I was like, give me some light. I don't know what it was.
Brighten up my life with this model.
It was so fucking ugly. Like, and he kept failing to cast spells as well. I was like, this is because you're ugly, bin chicken. This is because you're ugly.
He's trying to cast a spell, extends his arm to cast the spell, but then his eye catches the hideous colors that his arm is painted in, gets distracted.
Apparently the chat are saying it's actually because of the green screen is why they couldn't see it and they couldn't comment. But it
yes, it was invisible, wasn't it?
So yeah. It was a cry for help. It was like, how do you paint? The thing is I'm a bit of a coward when it comes to painting large models, Nick. Like these Skaven slaves. Well, no, they're not called that. The clan rats. Mm-hmm. Literally, give me 120 of them. I'll just go to fucking town. I'm like, yeah, no problem, babe. But as soon as I see like a big wing or even tanks, I've always like been like fairly intimidated by tanks. Because I'm just like,
why is that?
I don't know. I'm just like, is it like just a block of one color? Done. That seems boring. Do you know what I mean? I'm always like, and then I see like tanks online, and they've got like streaky stuff, and they've got like some like fucking like light source stuff, and I'm like, fuck, mine just looks like a block of color.
Yeah, well, like tank weathering is super easy if you want to do like a really basic one, because you just paint the color and then get a sponge on some black or silver.
Do you know what? Actually, my friend has been doing a lot of sponge painting, and you've suggested it before, and I've never done it, so I think that might be one of the things I try in the future, is to be a sponger.
Mm-hmm.
No jokes in the chat. That
really good for...
Go on, after you.
It's really good. It's just really good for armor. Easy armor plates. Like, Marines is pretty good for... like, Imperium tanks, it's really good for.
Okay. So do you sponge all over, or do you sponge, like, the area, like...
Just the edges. So you just, like, catch the immediate edge. Dab it on.
I'm just a coward about it. Do you think you could, like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe, like, could you sponge on inks or something? I don't know.
I don't think it works that good with inks. It's more you want, like, just paint out the pot, I think.
This is scary, though, right? Like, I know you're not scared because you're, like, a phenomenal hobbyist. It's actually, like, the wrong person maybe to have this conversation with. But, like, was there ever a point where you were intimidated by large models?
I think always am, because I think...
I mean, and they're even larger to you than to me.
They are, yeah. My tiny hands do struggle to hold large models. I think larger models are more intimidating just because, you know, the fuck up is bigger on small ones, isn't it? Like in infantry, you can hide it. If you mess up one infantry, you can hide it at the back of a unit. But a monster or a tank is generally a centerpiece model. So if you mess it up, it's more obvious or it takes more time to correct.
Yeah, I think there's some issues. So it's just scary. It's scary, I think. And that's why, I don't know, like some models I'm not too stressed about doing and some I'm like, nah, it's just not a thing for me. I quite like... I'm getting into blending, okay. Actually, I'm going to try and sponge something next week. I'm going to specifically next week find some models, try and like learn some sponge paint. Do you get like a big sponge or like a teeny tiny sponge, or do you like cut some sponge
apart? Depends
what you're
doing. Yeah, I generally would do is... I'm holding the stick right now. I'd get a... If you're doing like a small space marine, cut a bit of sponge off and super glue it onto an old paintbrush end. So you can kind of use it as a paintbrush. and just like maybe cut it with scissors to shape like to a different, like a bit of a point, but yeah, or just get like a, you can buy actual sponge brushes for like from an arts and crafts store.
Okay.
And they generally will come almost like a paintbrush already.
I think you have
but
to
you can just use
right
a normal.
I think you have to choose the right sorts of model to sponge as well, don't you?
Yeah, like with lots of hard edges.
Okay. So like vehicles and stuff.
Yeah, vehicles or space marines, stuff like that. That's always good for sponging.
All right. All right. Well, prepare to watch me become a sponger next week. I'm excited. And obviously, the joke to make in chat is because I'm a Twitch streamer.
You already are.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Hey. Thank you. Thank you. We had a question in the chat from Iggy about any updates on the TSN. And there is some updates coming, is all I can currently say, if that helps. Updates.
That does not help at all.
In 3 days, there will be a reveal of the reveal of the information.
Reveal show.
A reveal show. Should we hold our own reveal show on Saturday? That would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our own Games Workshop reveal show.
Thank you, Scott B, for linking a tutorial in the chat. The thing is, so I remember when I learned video editing. So I'm about to talk about the fact that there are countless dozens, thousands even, of high quality paint tutorials online. Thousands. And when I was learning video editing, which I taught myself from YouTube videos, I remember it took me an entire summer. And at one point, I was just in a chair like a child. I'll have to take my headphones for it. Like just swinging like this. Just like, doo-doo-doo. I think it took me like 8 hours to do a 1 hour tutorial because I just don't learn that way. Just sitting down. And watching makes my entire skin and body crawl. But if I'm like, if I'm doing a thing, like if Nick was sat next to me, he's like, just do this. I'd learn in like 5 minutes. I learn by doing, not.
Could you not do it along with the video at the same time?
No. I need like that human energy. You know, crystals, how they trap human energy and then you can put that in the room. Mm-hmm. You just don't have any crystals to. I really hope that there's some like super serious science guy in the chat who's just like flipped his shit. He's like, fuck you, Rob. Crystals are real.
Eldar ones are. Eldar crystals are real. There's soul stones.
Yes. I mean, those are souls. That's very different, isn't it? I think.
So do you want me... So what I could do, Robert, I could get a crystal, probably a pink Himalayan
rock
salt crystal. And I could put it on my hobby desk for a while and channel my hobby energy into it while I do some sponging, and then I could pass that on to you, and that'll help you on your journey.
That will help me. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm a kinetic learner. Welcome. Is that something that I need to? Is that something since I was at school, and whatever sort of problems I have as a human being, they've now identified that I'm a kinetic learner, Nick. That's right. That's what I am. But I love reading. I can sit down and read for like 8 hours, no drama. But if you try to teach me something, like via a video or in a class, nope, I'll fight you.
You think that's because if you're reading, your mind is visualizing it, so it kind of, you can focus a bit more, whereas if you're watching something, your mind is trying to occupy itself with other stuff?
Yeah, potentially. Like I read the, what did I read recently? It's like, I've read like, I don't know if anyone wants to Google this book, a Tactical Zone Deployment. It's a really, really thick wargaming book. You can Amazon it, it's about 45 quid. It's incredibly dense. I read the entire thing cover to cover in like 2 days. Loved it. Really useful. Like, not really for wargaming as in our wargaming. It was more military wargaming. But fascinating read all the same. And I encourage people to do it. Anyway, we're getting on to like personal issues now. Let's move away, Nick. Really fast.
Let's run away.
Let's run the fuck away. anyway, I'm currently painting up for some hobby for you, Nick, to know. Look at this. A Vermilord from Forge World, the Warpnor Vermilord. Mainly because it looks like I'm only going to require to do 3 colors on him because he's massive. So I'm very excited about that. Very, very excited. What hobby? Are you still working on your Chrome Dar?
Yes, to an extent. I'm not really going to focus on the painting too much. I've done the testers, but I'm putting the painting on the back burner a little bit for now. But I bought some Vipers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I bought some Vipers for my list. So I needed, because they kind of feel like the because they're like a 50 point, 50-ish point fast moving unit. So it's pretty good for ninth edition now because they can go and score things like engaging on fronts or mainly engaging on fronts or just jump on an objective. Maybe if someone's just got one model on there, they can contest that objective with just one, but it's like a fast moving unit. Because I needed it for my Eldar, because I only had like three Wave Serpents and only a couple of units. So I needed a couple more throwaway units for those kind of jobs in the game. Also maybe zoning out, stuff like that. And they're quite good if you're using like the Salamander style, we roll one hit, one wound per unit, because you get a Star Cannon on there. So that's two pretty good quality shots to use that on.
Especially for its job, which is just sitting on an objective and then just keep firing away and projecting power. I think that's one of the really important bits, about the game. Like I had this conversation yesterday about battle line and how in Age of Sigmar, if you can find a unit, I was comparing Liberators and Judicators. If you can find a unit that can sit on an objective and can shoot from that objective, then they're much better. But 40k, that's pretty synonymous. Basically, everything can shoot from where it stood most of the time. So you generally end up with something that's stood on an objective firing away from the objective, which is positive, right?
Mm.
I also can't believe of all things that you are playing Eldar. Like, we need to unpack that more. Like,
well,
if you listen to the first year of the Honest Wargamer, there was a lot of Eldar rough outing.
Yeah. There was a lot of anti-Eldar hate speech on the show.
There was. How do you feel about it now?
Well, I have always had a bit of a fetish for Eldar planes, like the Wave Serpents, all their vehicles, like the Vipers. I just think they look so fucking cool, like, and sleek. They look like they go fast. They look really cool. So I've always kind of wanted like a Wave Serpents and stuff like that. But the Eldar hate, I think, came from just how busted and stupid some of their stuff was. Like, like Reapers were ridiculous. Like, shooting twice, rerolling all your hits and all your wounds, and then popping back into a ruin so they can pop out of a Wave Serpent, shoot twice, decimate something, and then just hide.
From all the way across the board.
Bomb everything, yeah. It was, and then like double moving or triple moving Shining Spears. They just had a lot of stupid shit that just made it silly to play against. So that's kind of mostly where the Eldar hate came from. But I've always admired how they looked. So I've always liked them. So last year when they were doing the Apocalypse like army deals, there was like a Wraith box. So you got like 15 Wraiths, 2 Wraith Lords, and a Wraith Seer or something like that.
Oh, like the Christmas deal.
Yeah, one of the Christmas deals. So I thought, oh, this is a perfect time because you can get it at a discount. It's a pretty good saving on that bunch of models. And I do like the Wraith units as well, like the Wraith Lords, the Wraith Guards. I think they look really cool as well. So I figured perfect time to jump in, buy them at a discount, and then make like a Wraith-themed army with the transport. So I'm ticking all those boxes for me, like, as a hobby project. The Wraiths look cool. I've got them in the army. The Wave Serpents look really cool. I've got them in the army. So I'm rationalizing to myself it's okay, even though I've hated Eldar all this time, because...
Well, so that's the other thing. Yeah, me and Tom might be hobby gods now, which is a real change because of 2020 has really affected us, but 2020 has also really affected you. You're playing Eldar. I still wouldn't touch Eldar with a pole. Yeah, so, I mean, disgusting is all I'm
saying. You've had Harlequins.
They're not Eldar. They are laughy, jokey, maniacal geniuses. Like, Harlequins are my, like, full representation in the hobby. Like, when I read the Harlequin lore, when I read about Kagarach and the narrative, I was like, I am fucking in on this army. But my Harlequin army, as you know, looks like hot trash because I'm terrible at painting. And I'm just kind of embarrassed. I'm just kind of embarrassed to put it on the table. Yeah, but I don't know how to make it any better. So... I don't know.
Just paint like loads of little diamonds everywhere and like playing card symbols everywhere, like really tiny detail freehand, just all over the models. Just do that.
Yeah. I'll jump on that later. I should get that done. The question is did the hate you felt for Eldar, this is from Board Game Manchild, and I think it's a really fair one. come from you having to repress your feelings and love for Eldar? Were you always a closet Eldar player?
I think there's definitely an element of truth in that. It's kind of like when you have in America where there's like a gay conversion therapy leader.
Yeah.
Who secretly all the time is actually gay. And then later the comes out as gay. Like he's, yeah.
The percentage chance that like someone doing that job, like, and it's not a job, someone performing that horrific immoral torture act, yeah, mm-hmm, is also themselves deeply conflicted because of their personal feelings is an issue. So yeah, mm, all the time.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what it has been with Eldar. Yeah, I was masking my love for Eldar by projecting all this hate out into the world and onto the internet, while secretly being in love with the army aesthetic as a whole. But this year it's given me, you know, I've finally plucked up the courage to be brave and come out of the Eldar webway.
Good. I really can't. And if anyone's listening, we aren't making light of the struggles that people face in any way, shape or form. And we're super supportive of all the communities. And I think that it's fun and you guys should understand that, and understand that we're on everyone's side, not everyone's side, not the Nazi side, Nick, generally.
No, definitely not.
Harlequins are, yeah. Also, Nick, if I do play my, stop making me do it, my Harlequins again. I don't know if you heard that on one of the shows I've been, the Death Jesters are now apparently named after me because I was a DJ for a while. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, so when you crack those out again and play with them, you'll be able to, you know, call them Little Robbie.
Little Robbie. There's already one of them in the world. I can't put another Little Robbie out there in the world. That's not a reference to a child. That's a reference to my penis. So the other big news I have in the world of hobby, Nick, if you're interested,
yes,
is yesterday I did over 200 bases.
I know, yeah. I saw those on Twitter.
What do you think?
Talk me through your basing process.
Super easy. So I'll give you guys some examples, as you can see on the screen here. That's a 32mm. That's a 25mm. So what you do is you crack a film on. You open the top of a really large, useful box. Then you lay out all your bases. And then you just get some black milliput, which is my new best friend ever. And then you just roll it up. And then, so I got asked, it was really funny. Someone was like, oh yeah, what tools did you use? Zero tools. You basically just rip a bit off, stick it on, swoosh it around with your fingers, and you end up with some sort of texture. I think it was
Do you have to, you know, with that green stuff, you have to mix the blue and the yellow together? Do you have to mix anything with the
input? There's a black part and a, I'm going to say, like, greyish part, and you mix those two bits together. And then it takes you maybe 5 minutes of rolling it around. My hands are still covered in, like, bits that won't, like, wash off, and I've tried with, like, a pretty thick wire brush. So it does make a mess of your hands. So I guess you could wear gloves or something, but I didn't. And also, I guess maybe not use gloves, because one of the things, when you put it on the base, I would just swoosh it around with my fingers, and that just, it crumbles, really. It's got like a quite crumbly texture. So when you break it off or you put it on, it just breaks apart into like quite a nice kind of, well, it's perfect for lava, which has always been how I do it. But I guess you could also, I mean, I use black milliput. I don't know if there is a grey milliput, but, and then I sprayed it with a black spray. But I 100% think that you could do any color scheme on this. Like, you could do them all brown and spray them brown, and then it could be like, you know, your surface for like mud or something. But it sets super firm, like super firm. Like, I'm like squishing it now, and it's not too breakable, which is nice. And then I just painted it red, yellow and white super fast. And I got it, I think total process, I think I did about 200 bases in about 4 hours, which wasn't bad, which is super quick. And I've done this for all of my Chaos stuff. So this is probably the 600th base, maybe, set of bases that I've made for Chaos in the past.
How easy is it to glue stuff onto it, though? Because if it's quite an uneven surface, sometimes it can be quite difficult to glue models on.
Well, I just use super glue and activator, and then there's no dramas, generally. Mm. I mean, you could probably... So if you wanted to do it a different way, which I did with my Kadai. What I did with my Kadai was I put the mini put on and I just built my Kadai into it. And that's a really nice thing, because if you really wanted to make a really solid kind of like model and you wanted to paint them up. But like you, you and me do our bases and our models separate, then stick them together at the end.
Mm-hmm. This is the way.
This is the way. It is always the way. Are you, if you use gloves...
And yeah, you could also pin it in, like Bonnigan Manchester's. Yeah, pin it in if you're super serious about a model not coming off.
Yeah. I mean, I just did this one a minute ago just to show everyone. Right, so there's a love rat of Clan Love on a base, and it's super quick and really easy. But if you do use gloves, that will stop. But then the fingerprints that you have on your finger leave a tech, like you can use them to drag out texture and leave like they've got some nice ridges. So anyway, but 4 hours to do that many bases is quite a quick process, and I really like it. So
it's not beating my record though. I've got an even quicker process for my orcs.
What is it?
So I based 120 bases in, I would say, 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay. I'm ready to hear this. Please tell me.
So the bases aren't amazing. Like the benefit of your bases over how I did mine is that yours have a lot more texture and undulation to the surface. So they look a bit more natural and more scenic. And you get just a bit more detail on them. But mine were quicker. So mine were for my orc boys. So the idea is that they were on like a Mars sort of planet. So red planet, but it's like desert. So it's nice and flat. Mm-hmm. So like salt plains kind of idea. So I just got MDF bases. I got a texture spray from B&Q. You can get like a stone texture spray.
Oh yeah, you can.
So I just sprayed that on the bases and then sprayed them red and then a bit of dusting of orange. And that was it.
Wow. Wow. That is phenomenal. Done. The texture paint from the hardware place is a really clever idea. I hadn't thought about that at all.
That's the only issue though. Yeah. There is a slight problem with it though. So when I've glued the orcs on after painting them, the texture paint doesn't always stick that well to the MDF. So it's fine for general purpose, but if I dropped one of the orcs or the base stuck and I tilted the model a bit too hard, the feet do come off. So the texture paint doesn't stick as well to the MDF, so it can come off sometimes. You just have to glue it back on again. It's happened. So I've got about 200 orc infantry. It's happened with me dropping the case or dropping models. Some of them are popped off. About, I don't know, 20 to 30 of them are popped off, but I've just glued them back on. It's fine. So it's just a mild annoyance. It's not like a major problem with that technique.
I wonder if you know, like carpet glue, like spray glue.
Yeah.
I wonder if you bang that on first.
Yeah. Or... Yeah, I definitely think something like that, either like spraying on water down PVA or like say some sort of spray on glue as the first layer would, I think, be something that I would change if I was to do it all again. Or I don't know, I've not tested it with like plastic bases. I don't know whether it would glue better to plastic bases than MDF.
He's tried that in the chat and it's just peeled off. It's a super interesting idea. But I like you said, the thing that I really that, and it sounds obviously super quick, which I'm sure there's some people out there like, nailed it. Thank you, Nick. That's exactly what we want. Because at this point, I don't think there's many. Well, maybe there's. I know Diadrin in the chat, for instance. Oh, actually, there's a whole bunch of guys in the chat who I know are phenomenal painters. So, like, just ignore me. But what I like about this is, if I ever wanted to with the Milliput stuff, is I could get some big extra. So with all my Imperium stuff, as I know you've seen, I put a bunch of like random bits in with it as well, like girders and other stuff. So my Imperium stuff has generally like a little bit more of like a mechanical feel to it, and all that really requires is me to have some extra stuff. And one of the other, can I just say where actually this came from? Because a basin I used to buy when I was doing Warhammer Fantasy Battle, I bought loads of resin bases, and they were beautiful. And I spent almost as long painting those bases as I did painting the models on top of them. And then they went to rounds. And like, now I'm like, this is why I don't paint well. I'm like, because I was like building up this like beautiful Nurgle army for like, I tried really hard. I just want everyone to know that. For me, way, way hard. Then Warhammer Fantasy Battle happened. I was like, cool, fuck you, never. I'll never try again. Like, you'll have medium from me forever. But I was at an event and I was looking at loads of people's models and I was looking at their bases and I was like, how long do you, and I asked one of the guys, like, I think he won best painted and I can't remember what event it was at this point. I was like, how long did you spend like designing how all your little models were going, like how your bases were going to be? He's like, oh, I don't. I just chop them up. He's like, the nature is chaotic and therefore you shouldn't like plan any of it. Just like chaotically like attack the base, stick stuff wherever you think works and then just move on. And I was like, wow. And then ever since that point on, that's how I've always thought about basing. I'm just like, just do whatever, just throw stuff around because probably there'll be that configuration somewhere in the universe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. One thing I learned from doing terrain about a couple of years ago, like I was putting tufts on terrain, like putting tufts on a model base is much easier because there's not much surface area. You dot a few around, it looks fine. But on a bigger extended bit of scenery, what I found the trap I was going into was just spacing them out. So it kind of looked like a polka dot pattern rather than clumping them more together.
Okay. Yeah, that
was something
sense.
I learned from doing that. Yeah, I think bases are like, I love basing as same. A thing. I love putting tufts on. Tufting is a very passion of mine.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I eventually, when I finally finished off all my chaos, I'd like to go back and tuft up all my boys. Like, I think some like orangey tufts all over the lava bases would look quite nice. But do you have a tuft guy? Where do you mainly tuft?
Yeah, I've got a dude. Just text him saying, "Yo, dude, meet me under the bridge. I'm looking for some hardcore tufting."
I want there to be an app like Tinder or Grindr, but Tufter.
Tufters.
Gabawaki says rival crafts make great tufts. I'm in the market for some tuft advice. Nick, okay. Where do you tuft?
I generally just go on eBay and Google War Games tufts.
Okay.
You can generally get like on there, I think you can get like if you're just getting like a brown one, you can get like 120 for like a fiver, something like that. Of various different colours and shapes and sizes. Yeah, like 117 for £3.
Wow, that's a lot of tufts.
Yeah.
That's a lot of tufts. That's a lot of tufts. Some purple tufts I've been suggested. With tufts and rocks and stuff, always add then in an odd number, 135. Your brain subconsciously wants to be symmetrical, which doesn't look natural. By using odd numbers, it's easy to look natural. Thank you for Vengeance of Sylvania.
Good tip.
Great tip. Lifelong Tufty Club member. I now want, like, I really want us to get some t-shirts at, like, the Hard Tufts Club. Yeah. Or something. Gamer's
War
Grass.
War Gamers are Tufts.
You can get sets, which is a brilliant idea. Gamer's Grass. What's that? Gamer's Grass. I'm going to go Google that right now. Also, a big shout out to Winner Dave, who's just painted up 5 Grimghast Reapers, and he's only got 24, 6, I think, and he's only got 24 more to go. Just keep going, baby. Gamer's Grass. Gamer's Grass sounds like a weed-like type. Okay, they do them at Firestorm Games. Have you looked at these, Nick? They're quite cool.
Gamer's Grass.
Gamersgrass.com. That's amazing. That's an amazing website name. That's great. I love this hobby. It's so fun. Mm-hmm. It's like, what do you do? Yeah. I mainly produce grass and tufts for war gamers. Gamers Grass battle ready bases are the shit. Whoa. I'm learning all sorts of things here. Special tufts. Grass tufts. Oh. They've got a lot of tufts, Nick.
They have.
Wait, they've even got tiny tufts.
These guys you can tell these guys have been tufted in for a long time.
These are serious tufters.
I'd love to go around to these guys' house and teach me a thing or two about tufting.
But imagine how big the garden they're growing all these tufts in is.
I imagine they've got like one of those new fancy like underground vertical gardens.
Yeah.
They have. So they're just growing in long, big trays in like underground warehouses.
Just loads and loads of doves. Wait, so you can buy some. Oh, so you can buy some ready-made bases.
Yeah.
That are already.
I think
painted.
We saw some of them at. I think we saw some at Firestorm Games.
Mate.
When we wandered around the shop after the the tournament went to the Echoes of War. Yeah, they look pretty good, but I reckon you probably pay way over the cost of it.
Yeah, so but for people
it's
that
definitely
have got
more
the
economical
money,
to do it yourself.
Yeah, it's way more economical. Yeah, like crazy amount. I mean, I think doing all these bases in total has cost me like £25 to do like whatever the like 200 bases, not including obviously the base cost, but that should come with the models. But I don't know about you, Nick. I'm still got a whole bunch of square bases from Warhammer Fantasy Battle Days that I'm translating over, and how much bases cost me really triggers me.
What, buying?
Buying bases.
I just buy MDF super cheap. That's how I go.
The MDF ones.
Yeah. Because I also like bases. Okay, bases. Rob and chat. What bases do you prefer? Circles with a flat edge, or circles like the Games Workshop ones with the the slanted edge? I don't know what fancy word for it is. The slanty edge. What do you prefer?
Slanty edge. The round. Only because I'm used to it. Like. It makes me uncomfortable at this stage doing any other sort of edge. If I see a round edge, I just feel weird about it. What do you prefer?
I prefer the straight edge, the flat edge one.
That's weird.
You get a bigger circle surface area for your basing, and just that the vertical edge, I think, it just looks nice.
But then, where do you measure to?
You
measure to a base, question. Do you measure
to
the
bit
top?
That touches the bit that touches the mat.
Oh.
So the surface area is the same, isn't it?
Wow, that changes up my decision completely. Still slanty edge, because all mine are slanty edges and I'm not changing at this point. But I'm not bothered edgewise as long as the whole army is the same. Yeah, I think that's fair. Warlord Games bases are great, much thinner with a slight lip for basing material. Okay. Right, and also it gives you more room for tufting, Nick.
Exactly. Maximum the tufting area is my preference.
Well, Nick, Twitch chat, it's time for us to go. We've tufted too much. The grass has got too long. Rob is not straight edge. Rob. That's a weird
yeah, we're gonna to we're say. Gonna yeah we have to turn off the stream now because me and Rob are about to do a bit of online tufting together. It's gonna get a bit weird.
Yeah. Join me, Nick, Innes, and Tom later, where we will tuft like you've never seen people tuft before. But it's been a pleasure.
It's begun.
No, Nick, stop tufting yourself. Thank you to everyone on Patreon. Thank you to everyone on Twitch. Thank you to everyone on the podcast. Please stay hydrated. I tuft you, buddies. Nick, I tuft you a lot.
I tuft you too, buddy.